NFP Nation, and welcome back to another edition of the Press Coverage Podcast here at the National Football Post. I am your host, Joe Fortenball, joined as always by United States celebrities Michael Lombardi and Matthew Bowen, both of whom picked the Green Bay Packers to the Vikings last weekend. Gentlemen, how are you today?
You forgot the one sentence that you picked the Vikings. I mean, let's make sure we honor the great Joe the Tipper Fortenball here. That's because what this phone call is all about. So let's pay homage here.
I didn't feel the need to gloat. I just wanted to, you know, make.
You never feel the need to gloat. No, you never feel the. Can I share with the texts that I received from your gloating? I mean, you know.
Sure, you can read them off. They got a couple websites out there dedicated to that sort of thing,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, exactly. Is your arms long enough to keep patting yourself on the back like that? I mean, really.
It's like I said, I don't like to gloat. I'm not one of those, you know, walking around, everyone look at me sort of guys. I'm just kind of like, you know, it is what it is. The Vikings will beat the Packers, and let's move on with our lives. That's just, you know, that's how I do things. I like to roll in the shadows. I'm one of those guys. I operate in shadows and darkness.
I'm glad you're laughing.
Snake Eyes, how do you feel about all that?
I feel good because I picked the Birds to beat the Giants, and you jumped ship, told me the Birds had no chance, your own team, you were throwing them under the bus, but now you're suddenly back on the train telling me there's no chance the Birds can lose to the Cowboys. So, I mean, it goes both ways. It's a two-way street over here at the NFP, folks.
No, that's not how it works. Look, if that's my team and that's the team I always support, it doesn't matter what I say. When they win, I get the credit for it. That's how it counts. It doesn't matter what I say. All right, we got three big games to discuss today, and then we're going to do a little pick 'em towards the middle since we're at the midseason point. We'll talk MVP candidates. We will talk Super Bowl predictions. But right now, let's start with one of the big games. This is coming out of the AFC North, 4-3 Baltimore, coming off the impressive win, knocking off the Denver Broncos last week, heading to Cincinnati to take on the 5-2 Bengals. The Ravens are a 3-point favorite in this game, which has shocked some people, especially since the Bengals are coming off the bye. In the first meeting this season, Cincinnati won 17-14. But after losing three straight, Baltimore has rebounded, like I said, with the big win over Denver. Mike, let's start with you. What is Baltimore going to need to do to keep the momentum going? This is a huge game in the AFC North this week. It's also going to have wild card implications. Can Baltimore get into Cincinnati and get out with a victory?
Well, I think they're comfortable playing there. Certainly they know how to play there, and I think ultimately it's going to come down to their offense again. I mean, Baltimore is an offensive football team now, and I think the one thing the bye week did for Baltimore is it taught them who they are as a defense, and they've got to play really good in the red area. I think the Ngata injury certainly is going to impact their football team if he doesn't play, certainly in the run game. But I think they got to play really sound in terms of how they play defense, particularly in the red area. And then they got to know they got to keep pace and keep scoring. And I think really when you analyze it, Baltimore had a chance to really put that game away in Baltimore, and they couldn't do it. This time I think they will. Baltimore, to me, is the better football team because I think they have a more complete football team.
Hey, guys, let's kick it to you for a second. Baltimore's pass defense was very susceptible this year. They had been getting torched on a regular basis. This wasn't that same ferocious Ravens defense that so many people remember from the past decade. However, coming off the bye, they looked very impressive against Denver. They limited them to just 7 points and 200 total yards, one of their most impressive performances, if not the most impressive, of the season. Do you see that trend continuing this week against Ocho, Benson, and quarterback Carson Palmer?
Well, I think it does if they follow the same game plan as they had last week as an offensive football team. I thought too early in the season that the Ravens and Cam Cameron got too pass happy. You know, Joe Flacco was throwing the football over 40 times a game, but last week they come out, Flacco's 20 of 25. They run the ball 35 times as a team, and they get back to the type of football I think they can win with. When they're a ball control offense, they limit the amount of snaps their own defense has to take, and they can build a lead and protect that lead. I agree with Mike. I thought they should have won the first game at home, and I think they win this weekend, and I think we start to see this team develop the way we thought they would and become a playoff contender because they play good defense, they control the ball on offense, and they play well in the kicking game.
Well, like you said, yeah, not only Baltimore should have won that first game, but if, for those who remember, there were a lot of pass interference calls at the end of that game that went against the Ravens, mm-hmm. one of which, I can't remember the two players involved, but it was a terrible call that kept the drive alive. So, you know, obviously a little revenge to be extracted here. If you had to name one player in this game that's going to make the key difference, who would you say it's going to be?
I think as a defense, you have to look at Ed Reed. I mean, I was waiting for Ed Reed to step up and make that big play like he did earlier in the game and make it in the red zone. Like Mike said, in the red zone, they got to play good red zone defense. Can Ed Reed make that big play late in the game that ultimately leads to the win? I think that's the guy you have to look at.
So both of you guys are going to the Ravens this weekend. Am I correct in assuming that?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. And I think what Matt said is true, but I think when with the Ravens on the bye week, you know, they're three plays away really from being 7-0. I mean, obviously if the Clayton makes the catch, you talk about the pass interference penalties, the corner slips on the touchdown pass. There's a lot of issues with their football team, but they're still a good team, and I think ultimately that's why they'll prevail here.
Very much so. The Hauschka missed field goal at Minnesota would have given them that win as well. But oh well for them, it is a big game this weekend. Moving on, staying in the AFC, this one is near and dear to our hearts. The AFC South Showdown, 5-3 Houston Texans heading to Indianapolis to take on the undefeated 7-0 Colts. Colts are a 9-point favorite in this game, and it might have something to do with the fact that Indy has won 11 of the last 12 games they have played against Houston, including four straight. Key injuries in this game, tight end Owen Daniels from the Houston Texans out for the season with a torn ACL. Marlon Jackson, the cornerback from Indianapolis, also a torn ACL. He just got put on injured reserve. He's done for the year. And quarterback Kelvin Hayden might not play this weekend, leaving Indy very vulnerable against the Houston passing offense. Speaking of passing offenses, the Colts ranked first in the league in the past. Houston ranks third. Snake Eyes, is there anything that should make us think this will not be a shootout this weekend?
Well, I think you just look at look at Indy from last week. Look how they struggled to score points, and look at the way Houston's been running the football. You know, Slayton gets benched, Ryan Moats comes in, and they don't miss a beat. They're becoming more of a ball control team who takes calculated shots down the field. You know, they're not the same team we're used to where they chuck it up all game and try to outscore teams, and their front seven's playing very well against the run. You know, everyone keeps talking about Peyton Manning and Reggie Wayne and Garcon against this Houston secondary. What about Andre Johnson and Shaw against, like you said, the banged up Indy secondary? I think there's going to be opportunities for both teams to score points down the field, but I think it's going to come down to, you know, the type of ball game we saw last week between Indy and the Niners. I think this will be lower scoring than people think, and I'm calling for the upset because I want Michael Lombardi to start sweating a little bit about having to sit front row and watch The Undertaker.
I've already got that handled. I've already got a strategy for that. I've already loaded season 3 on my iPhone. So in case that does happen, I'm pretty well prepared to watch season 3 of The Sopranos right there. I mean, like I said yesterday, a little more Gloria Trillo never going to hurt me in my life. However, that being said, you know, I think you're a little premature here. The Texans have done a nice job in terms of restoring their season after that ultimate first game losing to the Jets. But when you really watch this, who has challenged them offensively besides the Arizona Cardinals? I mean, they went up into Cincinnati. It was the week after Mike Zimmer's wife died. There was an emotional letdown up there. The Bengals really didn't challenge them offensively. And I think this game they will be challenged offensively. And I do sense that everybody thinks it'll be high scoring. Peyton Manning did not play well last week. It was one of the few times you could watch the game where he would honestly say to you, I didn't make enough throws. And that's why they really didn't play as well in the red air, and that's why the score was so low. I just don't see them playing as badly 2 weeks in a row. The second week on a row with a road team. Look, I've got to root for the Colts here because I've got a lot at stake. I'm not watching guys going off
hoops
and doing that. So, you know, I just think that I think the Colts, even though I think they could be due for a letdown, I think their letdown came last week against San Francisco. And even though they won the game, I think the coach, Caldwell, has their renewed confidence in their team, and I think they can ultimately get it back.
Two key notes from this game. Lombardi, here's a statistic I know you love. The Texans, no team in the league puts a defense on the field that works with better position than the Houston Texans. Opposing offenses, I should say, are starting almost 78 yards away on their average drive. That's the best in the NFL. A key question in this game that we've kind of glossed over, we haven't gotten to it yet, is the storyline out of Houston regarding running back Steve Slayton, benched last week after putting the ball on the grass yet again. What's Houston going to do this week in terms of, you know, Ryan Moe, Chris Brown, Steve Slayton? They've got the timeshare. Is Slayton losing his job, or what are we going to see this weekend?
Well, I think on Moats, remember now, when he was in Philly, he really struggled in pass protection. He struggled to play all three games. When you give him the ball, everybody in Philly knew he was effective as a runner. However, that being said, he was not effective that often as a pass catcher, nor did he know what to do in the routes, nor did he be able to protect. And I think if he's the full-time back, I think if Indianapolis is smart, they're going to blitz him and they're really going to attack him and force him to be the protector. Therefore, I think Steve Slayton, even though he's lost his job, I still think he'll be the nickelback. He'll run the pass protection schemes. He'll be involved in the game. I think Moats will be in the game when they want to run the football. I think Slayton will be in the game when they want to throw the ball and do play action. So I think that's the way you got to break it down. And I think that's the challenge that the Colts face, is to figure out the roles of the backs. Backs tell you what their offense they want to run. You got to figure it out. It's like Denver. Denver has backs in the game. It kind of tells you who they want to be on offense. Every team that alternates their backs have roles. I think this is now what you're going to see with Houston.
Won three straight and four of their last five. They're coming into this one hot. This is going to be a big game. The telling sign, though, India is a 9-point favorite against the 5-3 team that's been playing offense. Clearly, the odds makers in Vegas are seeing something that a lot of people might not be seeing. Lombardi's got the Colts. Bowen's got the Texans. This is definitely a good showdown, but a bigger showdown. One that's personal. It's on a personal level for me and so many other people in the Philadelphia area. Sunday night, the Dallas Cowboys at 5-2 roll into Philadelphia, also 5-2. The Eagles are a 3-point favorite in this one. The Eagles have the edge in the division right now because of their NFC record, wins over Washington and New York coming into this game. Dallas has won three straight since their 17-10 loss at Denver. But all three, I'm going to come out and say it, they're soft wins. They're real soft wins. They're Kansas City. You know, Seattle's in there. That was a home win. Atlanta was in there with a banged-up secondary. I personally am not impressed. Mike, I'm going to come to you. I know you're going to pick the Cowboys. You just seem to hate on me every week. But, you know, this is the big game. And I heard you on Comcast last night talking about Miles Austin, how he is the real deal. 21 receptions, 482 yards, 5 touchdowns in the last 3 games. Will he keep it up against this Philly defense?
You know, I'm glad you watched me on Daily News Live, Joe. That really makes me feel so much better. But I think
I T-bone. I don't catch you live. I watch it at my convenience, not at your convenience.
I appreciate that. That's very kind of you. But I think that, you know, certainly in this game, when you really watch the Cowboys against the Seahawks, and I agree, the Cowboys haven't really beaten a dominant team. I mean, the Falcons are the best team they've played, but this will be the best team they've played away. You know, when you have 80,000 people in your stadium rooting for you, obviously it's certainly a compelling factor to make yourself better on defense and helps your pass rush because there's a lot of crowd noise. And I think this is the first time they're going to have to play a really good opponent on the road. And I think Philadelphia is the better team here because they can make the big plays. They can attack the secondary of the Cowboys, which I think is suspect. The key for the Eagles has got to be Jason Peters' protection. He's got to do a much better job in terms of how he protects against DeMarcus Ware. They got to play well all through the offensive line. And if they do that, you know, with this rhythm they have offensively, they're so darn good effectively in terms of spreading the field, running their screens and do that. I just think they have the ability to make the big plays, and Dallas is susceptible to giving up the big plays. So I like Philadelphia in the game. I really do. I think Philly's the team right now that is on the roll coming off that Raider loss. I think they regrouped and reevaluated who they are.
Great to have you back on the train. Thanks for joining us.
Well, you, wait a minute, hold on. Don't give me this crap, you back on the train. You jumped on and off this train constantly. You know, 1 week you're crying, oh, you can't beat anybody, I don't want to watch the game. I mean, you know, so, you know, you're a true typical Philadelphia guy. You're on and off, but when you win, you're just right there, you're leading the parade. When you lose, you're in the back of the bus calling for the coach to get fired. So let's just call it what it is.
You know, I tell all you that stuff in confidentiality. You have to go on the air and start airing the dirty laundry to everyone about how it is. I'm supposed to be known as a diehard, all right? That's how I am in the public.
Yeah, you're a diehard when the wind's posted. You're a diehard when the wind's posted. When the wind's not there, you're not a diehard. You have 1,000 opinions, just like what I do about the 76ers. So let's be honest.
Snake Eyes, let's go to you. You actually played in the NFC East. You also picked the Eagles to win the Super Bowl. You know what these type of rivalries are like. What's it like in a week leading up to a game when you've got the Cowboys on the schedule, you've got the Eagles, you've got the Giants, you've got the Redskins within the NFC East? I mean, is there an emotional lift? Is there an emotional high? Is it a bigger week at practice, or is it business as usual?
No, I think it's a bigger week, you know, just because of the media coverage and because of the familiarity with each other. You know, Dallas and Philly know each other really well. They know each other because they play twice a year and they watch film on each other all offseason. They know the tendencies. They know what they're going to do out of certain formations. So this game comes down to players and in big plays. And I'm with Mike. You know, I've said it all week. Until someone shows that they can stop Philadelphia's big play offense, you got to stay with them. They're scoring points. They're getting plays in big chunks of yardage. And they're causing turnovers. You know, Philly's plus 12 right now as a team in turnover ratio. That's a big number at this point in the season. And I do like Dallas's offense. I like him a lot with Miles Austin in there. I like that Roy Williams has to bench in the media about not getting the football because it's coming out that, you know, the number one receiver on this team is Jason Witten, but the number one receiver outside is Miles Austin because Roy Williams can't separate from receivers. He can't.
Not according to Roy Williams.
Yeah,
Roy Williams
of course not. Yeah, Roy Williams and T.O. are going to start a camp for kids after the year where how to bitch and how to complain to your coach and to your parents when you're not getting the football. But I'm telling you, this game is going to come down. It's going to be, you know, McNabb versus Romo. I think the Eagles defense makes a big play on Romo in the second half, and I think you see this Eagles train keep rolling, so you're going to be fine for the next week until they have to play another game.
Well, I don't feel comfortable with both of you on the Philadelphia train. That almost is a surefire. I don't even know what to say. Telling stat for this one: Dallas quarterback Tony Romo, 2-3 in his career as a starter against the Eagles. He's 1-2 in his last three. I'd like to remind every Dallas fan out there listening of what Week 17 was like last year when Dallas came up to Philadelphia. You all remember how your boy played there. Keep your eye out. You're probably going to see some of that again. That being said, let's move on to the portion. This is going to be our pick 'em portion right now. Usually we do a little buy or sell action at this point, but there's a lot to talk about with the midway point of the season. First thing we're going to throw out there real quick, huge game Monday night. Denver coming off the loss at Baltimore. They're returning home to host the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are coming off the bye. Snake Eyes, we start with you. Who do you have winning it?
I like Denver at home. Just I think their team rebounds. I think they find a way to win some 1-on-1 matchups on the outside. I think it's going to be a low scoring. I mean, not an exciting game. You know, more like the game they had against New England, you know, a field goal difference. But I think they make some plays in defense. Their defense was bad last week. But I think they come back this week. They make some plays in the passing game on Roethlisberger. I think you see them win this game at home.
Mike, what say you? Do the Broncos win?
I really like Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh can throw the football so well, and I think that's the way you're going to have to beat Denver. If they protect, they win. I think Pittsburgh's defense can make the plays because, let's face it, Denver is just trying to avoid – what they're doing with their offense is they just want to make enough plays. They're playing tight games. I think Pittsburgh knows how to win these tight games. I like Pittsburgh.
Very nice. Very nice. More dysfunctional franchise right now, the Cleveland Browns or the Washington Redskins, both. If you're a fan of these teams, I got to feel bad for you because this is not what you want to see during football season. But, Mike, we're going to stay with you. Which organization at this point in time more dysfunctional?
Well, you know, I think it's interesting. You know, Cleveland really wants to do well. They just don't know how. And Washington, you know, the owner wants to be involved. So, you know, and that's never going to change. And so ultimately, I think probably more dysfunction lies in Cleveland because – he really wants to do well. He just doesn't know how to. He doesn't know. And that's the biggest problem. And the next selection, I mean, with his whole commentary that he's going to have the secret be involved in the next hiring of the general manager, to me, just tells you he really doesn't know. Because, you know, the secret's part of the problem. He's not part of the solution. So, you know, this guy is given the keys to the kitchen to the secret. And as long as the secret's involved, you know, there's no hope for the Brown fans.
Guys, you're a former Redskin. Are they more dysfunctional right now than the Browns are, or are you staying Browns?
No, I'm staying Browns. You know, I think with the Skins, they have some major problems as well. But, you know, when the Skins go to play on Sunday, I still think they have the capability to beat some teams sometimes. You know, with Cleveland, I don't give them a shot against anyone. I mean, you want to talk about a bad game, put Cleveland and Oakland on the field at the same time. About 30,000 people in the crowd, no one wants to see it because both of those franchises are a joke right now. I'm with Mike. I'm going Cleveland.
All right, now we got the two big hitters right now. We're going to start with what we've all been talking about off the record this week. Bowen, you actually wrote about it, but we've been talking a lot via text message and phone. Mid-season MVP awards. This is starting to become a hot topic as certain teams are starting to rise. Cream drives into the top. Other teams are starting to fall off. Bowen, you took Darren Sharper as your pick, the safety from New Orleans who's having an outstanding year, and you wrote about it earlier this week. Now, let's eliminate Darren Sharper from the conversation, since we all know that's how you feel. Who would your number two be right now? If you couldn't vote for Sharper, who are you giving the award to?
I think you have to give it to Manning, just because he has the numbers. He has the undefeated
Eli
team.
Or Peyton?
Peyton. You know, you take...
Oh, what a smart aleck comment that was. That was uncalled for. That was uncalled for. Complete uncalled
hey,
for.
Out
you know,
Seacrest, know, right?
Seacrest, you're getting out of control here. Really, you are.
Oh, man.
We've created a monster, Matt. We've created an absolute monster. Seacrest.
Oh, man. You know, I think you,
oh,
Joe,
go ahead, Peyton.
Joe, you take away Peyton from the Colts and what he got. You got an average football team. I think that's what the MVP is about. That's why I said Sharp. You take Sharp away from the Saints, and you got a team that has to outscore people and count on the quarterback to have a big game every week. So I'd go Peyton Manning if I wasn't saying Sharper.
Mike, a lot of people have been emailing you this week. They want to know what your stance is on this situation. I'm going to throw a name out there. If Houston beats Indianapolis this weekend, number one, does Matt Schaub get into the conversation for MVP? And number two, if you're not going him, who are you going?
I'd go Drew Brees. I think Drew Brees is the, you know, if it's not Peyton Manning, not Eli, Matt. If it's not Peyton Manning, then I'd go Drew Brees. To me, those are the two right there. And frankly, to be honest with you, I think Percy Harvin has done as much for the Minnesota Vikings as any player. And I know Brett Favre has done an incredible job, but Percy Harvin controls field position for the team. Really, when you watch the game closely, the Packers and the Vikings, Percy Harvin's difference in the game was really effective in terms of what he did. But, you know, my number one guy is Peyton. Number two would be Drew Brees, because those guys really make it so impossible for you to beat them, because they play a game that, unless you're playing your A game, you can't really catch up to them.
No votes for Jamarcus Russell or Derek Anderson out there, I'm taking it.
You know, I gave it a lot of thought to Jamarcus, and I just am hopeful that he keeps growing and he keeps blaming other people for his problems, because until he accepts the fact that he's got to get better, you know, and I know he tells everybody, hey, look, I got the Rolls Royce in the driveway, but, you know, that's not going to last forever.
Nah, he's the worst player in the league. He's the worst player in the league.
Yeah, but when I say MVP, he's the most valuable player to the teams playing him.
Oh, we forgot. See, Seacrest, you're so far ahead of everybody. You're so far ahead of everybody. You know, I mean, only you could think of the negative on that. But, you know, the thing that's amazing is he just, until he takes responsibility and he's willing to prepare, it's never going to change. And there'll be more coaches fired in Cleveland, in Oakland, and there'll be more changes. I mean, the Cleveland situation is really a joke, because, look, they didn't have a quarterback last offseason. You talk about Brady Quinn, you talk about Derek Anderson, but the reality was they didn't have one, and they passed a quarterback in the draft, just like Seattle. Seattle's going to go through a whole change of their roster because they don't have a quarterback, because Matt Hasselbeck can't stay healthy. They had the fourth pick in the draft, they picked a linebacker. You know, Cleveland traded down to pick a center. I mean, these are things that shouldn't happen when you need quarterbacks.
And as a great man I know always says, if you've got two quarterbacks, you've got no quarterbacks.
You don't have any, and they didn't have any, you know, and you know, they just won't admit it, and that's why I think that the direction they're headed under the secret is the wrong direction.
Well, let's take it into the last question of the day. This is the big one. Everyone gets a chance for a redo. I'm not going to take a redo on this one, and I'll tell you why in a second. Super Bowl predictions heading into week 9. At this point, based on what you've seen, which way are you guys going to lean? Who do you think is going to be in the big game? I'm sticking. I had the Saints over the Patriots to open the season. I feel good right now. I've only got two losses between my two teams, so I'm riding high on cloud 9 here. But I'm going to kick it over to you guys. Snake Eyes, starting with you, who do you see it being? I believe you went with Eagle and Charger for your picks. Are you sticking with that, or are you going to run and readjust a little bit?
I'm sticking with the Eagles out of the NFC. I got to. I like the way they play. Obviously, they'd have to go on the road and beat New Orleans, but I'm sticking with the Eagles, and, you know, I'm not buying the Chargers anymore. I'm throwing the Chargers in the trash. I am going with Eagles over the Steelers, 27-21.
Oh, and all Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Get your states right.
Will you see Chris?
Yeah. All right. You know what? Sorry, if you're so quick to jump in, who are your two picks then, sir?
Well, I got to remember who I picked. I know I picked probably Indy. Did I pick Indy? I picked the Giants in San Diego, I think, was mine. I think that's what I had. I don't know. You have it written down there, Seacrest?
I don't have it written down. down in front of me, but I'm trying to think of who you went with. I know you liked the pack a little bit earlier, but not to go all the way.
Yeah, I did.
I know you didn't take the Saints because I was the only one who did that. So I think
of course. Notice how every time he opens up, he can pat himself on the back and whatnot. It's amazing how you can
Someone's
do that.
Someone's
got
to do it.
I'm never going to do it. Trust me, Seacrest. I'm never doing that. Now, I would say, you know, right now I think it's going to be, you know, I like New England and I like New Orleans. I think those would be the two teams that I would go with.
Very nice. Those are two very good predictions right there.
I went out on the limb there.
You want to roll the dice a little bit, go with New Orleans and New England. I like
there you
it.
Go.
Snake Eyes, sticking with the birds, I like you showing the moxie there, standing by your team. You're going to get to see him firsthand in a few weeks.
Yep.
You know the Tipper's coming into town for the big Eagles-Bears game. I'm showing up. I chose to stay on the other side of town than you. I don't really, you know, we don't need to see each other too much. We can see each other at Soldier, and that's that. So, gentlemen, as always, excellent work on the analysis. And from everyone at NFT Nation, thank you for tuning into this installment of the NFT Podcast. From Matthew Bowen, Michael Lombardi, I am Joe Fortenball. Thanks for tuning in. Fortenball out. Woo-hoo!